Yes.
Yes, I'm going to tell him that.
Today.
Right now. Yo, one of the ways that knowledge is increasing now is the existence of a nice little piece of software called Stellarium. You can go to this. It's a free application on your computer, on your phone, I guess, Stellarium.org, Stellarium.org. And by this, you can trace the positions of the planets and the stars at any given time in history. It's absolutely amazing. And this is what gives us folks who really, you know, don't sit around like the ancients and stargaze. It gives us an opportunity to see what is happening on September 23rd of this year, 2017, with the constellation Virgo and Jupiter and the Sun and the Moon, the position of these heavenly bodies, which is significant, lining up, I believe, I honestly do, with the passage in Revelation chapter 12. The Apostle John sees a constellation in the heavens, and we know that stars were given for signs. I'm going to depart now from Luke chapters 3 and 4, but I will end with this. I'll be back to this topic again. Was this a jubilee year when all these important things happened in the year of Tiberius Caesar number 15? Well, I will quote you William Whiston in his footnote to Josephus. According to William Whiston's footnotes in his edition of the writings of Josephus, the famous Jewish historian, 24 BC was a sabbatical year, 24 BC, and 23 BC was a jubilee year. This would mean that AD 27 was a sabbatical year and AD 28 was a jubilee year. And again, this is according to William Whiston's footnotes to Josephus. If this is true, then 1977 of our modern era was a sabbatical year and 1978 a jubilee year. It was jubilant for me. That's the year I graduated from high school. Sabbatical years would occur in 1985, 1992, 1999, 2006, 2020, and 2027, with the next jubilee being 2028. How perfect is that? Because it is exactly 2,000 years, or two watches of the night, or 2 days, depending on how, which aspect of Psalm 90, verse 4, you want to look at, from the declaration of Christ. Now, this leads us to a question about the 77s. When did the 69 sevens complete? When did they find their prophetic fulfillment? Was it when Jesus was born? Was it when Jesus was announced with all this great stuff happening in Luke chapters 3 and 4? Or was it when he rode into Jerusalem on the donkey? On the donkey. I'm not that impressed with riding into Jerusalem on the donkey. So I really don't think that was the end of the 69 sevens. I would tend to think, you know, either his birth or his public ministry begins. I'm tending toward his public ministry because whenever it is, the prophetic clock stops. And I'm going to show you examples of how God's prophetic clock, the 77s for Israel, stops when Israel is in apostasy. It has to stop because this prophecy was given to Daniel thousands of years ago, and we've certainly had longer than 490 years, haven't we, since that prophecy was given. I thought it was only going to be 490 years until the coming of Messiah. Yeah, well, God doesn't count time when Israel's in apostasy. That's the problem, you see, and I'm going to give you evidence of that again. Now, I'm going to dip into Mr. Knox's book, Concordance Studies in the Book of Daniel. talking again about three periods of 7 years. 7 7, 62 sevens, and another seven, total of 70 sevens. They're divided again into two sections, 69 sevens and 1 7. We talked about this before, but then I got into the Luke 3, 4 sidetrack, which was a great sidetrack, showing you that that was an epic time, that was a jubilee year, showing you that it's 2,000 years exactly, 40 jubilees until 2028, which is the date I am proposing to you of the inauguration of the kingdom of God on earth. 77s divided into two sections, 69 and 1. One leading to Messiah in humiliation, the other in glory. And I'll keep saying it, the coming in glory is greater than the coming in humiliation, even though Christ laid the groundwork when he came in humiliation for the salvation of the universe. So if he's careful to give times for his first coming, he's going to do that for his second coming, and people will know. The people will know. And we are the people. The 62 sevens are preceded by 7 sevens. And the last time we talked about this, I wasn't sure what that first seven was about. And I have since learned that it was the times of constraint when the temple was being built under Nehemiah. The temple was being rebuilt. It will be rebuilt, says Gabriel to Daniel, during times of constraint. Let's read the passage again. Verse 25 of Daniel chapter 9. And you shall know and be intelligent, from the faring forth of the word to cause a return to rebuild Jerusalem, from then till Messiah the governor, is 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It will return and will be rebuilt square and salient, even in eras of constraint. And it's this era of constraint, the first period of 7 years, that was why the 69 sevens were split in two. We have 69 and 1, but even the 69 are split into 7 and 62. The first 7 allows for the times of constraint, the trouble Nehemiah had in building the temple. And Jesus Christ had trouble also in his 3.5 years of ministry, leading up to the time when the kingdom should have come, And likewise, this corresponds to the 7 years at the end of this eon, during the final years of Millennium 6, when there's going to be 7 more years of trouble. Talk about a time of constraint before the second coming of Christ. So there was a 7-year time of trouble called by Daniel an era of constraint before Nehemiah finishes the temple after the Babylonian captivity. That was the time when it was announced that Jesus Christ would come after 69 sevens, but he would be cut off. So he has 3.5 years, 1,260 days of trouble before the kingdom should have come then. It didn't come then because of Israel's disobedience and unfaithfulness, the same reason they didn't get into the promised land. And now we have a future coming 7-year adjustment period, which consists of 2 3.5-year periods, the final of which is the most severe time, and that will lead to the actual, finally, the actual coming of the 1,000-year kingdom on earth. These two time periods, the coming of Christ in humiliation, the coming in glory, are very important for Daniel's people, and the prophetic clock is very important if they know not to add time while Israel is in apostasy. And again, as you're going to see, God gives the numbers. He gives the years so that you'll be able to calculate and subtract from the 490 years those times when Israel is in apostasy or is being held under foreign powers. It's really magnificent in its accuracy. For both the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ, the time between the two commencements is occupied again with a restoration, but not only just any restoration, but a restoration of Jerusalem. Jerusalem's being restored under Nehemiah. Jerusalem, you might say, is being prepared or restored under the time of Christ. And it is going to have to be restored in the last 3.5 years of this eon, because it's going to be wrecked by the bowls and the thunders and the lightnings and all the wrath that is coming upon this earth. It's going to be wrecked, and it's going to have to be rebuilt again. The false temple is going to be a pile of rubble. I've seen that scenario before, to make way for the new temple. The seven sevens, which preceded the 62 sevens, was taken up, as I said, under the restoration, with the restoration under Nehemiah and Ezra. I keep omitting Ezra, but we can't omit Ezra. I mean, it's Ezra. He had a great deal to do with that temple rehabilitation project, along with Nehemiah. The half of a seven, which precedes the last 3.5 years, will see the ritual restored in the holy city. This is going to happen. The false temple, the ritual is going to be restored under the coming governor, who will be the Antichrist. All right, so the dates of supreme importance to Israel are those dates which lead up to the time when Messiah will come. In the past, these times pointed to the time of Christ's appearing in humiliation. So that, why? So that some people could recognize. I know this is review. So that some people would be able to recognize his coming. In the future, they're giving the time. They are given the time. This is why I'm announcing it. Israel is given the time of his glorious advent, because, again, this is far greater than his advent and humiliation, so that his saints would not be deceived by the false Christ. They would know the era of the coming, and they would be able, because they know the era, to endure until the end, because unless they endure to the end, they won't be saved for aeonian life. To make doubly sure that people will know, a second commencement is given in each case to check the first. You have this preliminary 7 years followed by 62 sevens. Likewise, for the final seven, you have 2 3.5-year periods. It's a check. It's an interval. The 62 sevens are preceded by the seven sevens. Then the final half seven is preceded by a period of equal length. That's in our era, the final half seven. 3.5 is preceded by another 3.5-year period. Now, I know that there were some in Israel during Jesus Christ's first coming who knew that it was the time. And I say there's one of two ways they could know this, either by direct spiritual revelation, or they know Daniel and they simply counted the years. They simply counted the years. And these people of that era, they didn't have internet, lucky sons of guns. They didn't have cell phones, really lucky sons of guns. They didn't have television, extremely lucky sons of guns. And so they just occupied themselves with genealogies, with families, and with counting the passage of time, of years, marking the time, because they're looking forward to Messiah big time. So, of course, they want to know. Don't blame yourself. It's human nature to want to know when the Messiah is coming. Now, they thought his first coming might be the coming in glory. Might be the coming in glory. Well, okay, you were a little wrong about that. But they should have known that it would not be the coming in glory, because of Daniel's very specific statement. After 69 sevens, Messiah will be cut off. Ooh, that would have been tricky wording there. Cut off. I wonder if that means glorification. And I suppose there were some preachers back then who would try to convince you that cut off meant that this would be the political savior who would deliver us from our enemies. How do you get that from cut off? Well, the same way people get eternal torment today by the words, God is the savior of all humanity. That means he's the condemner of most of humanity. Is it? That's a strange alchemy. You morons. Oh, So anyway, you take God at his word, even though you can't hardly believe it. I can't hardly believe God's a savior of all humanity, and even though that's what it says in 1 Timothy 4:10. Back in that day, we can't be looking at the coming of a humiliated Messiah who will be cut off. No, so this cut off must mean something else. See, they wanted it so badly. They wanted it so badly for Christ to be a political savior that they missed those words cut off. And today, you know, people over the years have wanted the coming of Christ in glory. Now we know the second coming will be in glory, and people want it so badly that they'll twist dates, they'll twist scriptures, they won't count the years. And so today, with us, this is not a matter of us wanting it so badly that we're twisting scripture. I'm not saying we don't want it badly. We do want to see Christ. We do want to be delivered from death and decay. We do want to see the world delivered from the oppression of religion. But so many of us are so mature that we are willing to ride this out no matter how long it takes. If it takes a lifetime, if we have to die, if we have to be among the dead, at least we'll rise first. Yeah, so whatever. We're under the yoke. We're under the gun. Many of us are that mature, where we're not going to force something into Scripture that's not there. Having said that, this 6,000 years from Adam happens irrespective of maturity or immaturity. It happens irrespective of any desire or non-desire to see Christ, because the march of time doesn't care what you think about it. The passage of days from Adam doesn't care if you can't wait to see Christ or if you wish he would delay a little bit so you can enjoy your new job or your new family. The march of time doesn't care. And so we're not looking at a passage of days here that has happened because we have wished them to happen. And our wanting them to stay away is not going to make them stay away. The fact is that the time is here and the days are being fulfilled.